This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
For 5 years, I've been traveling across the country, learning and listening. And one of the most hopeful signs I've seen is this new drug, crack. Each time I meet with someone new, I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to his children, to enjoy life to the fullest and to make it count. So to my young friends out there, life can be great. And when it comes to drugs and alcohol, there's a big, wonderful world out there for you.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show where sexist porkers get their just desserts.
What is it?
Chicken Francoise, Jack.
I wish you'd stop reading those magazines. Whatever happened to meat and potatoes?
I don't know, Jack. You tell me.
I am your host, The Stimulator, and this past weekend, millions of women from across the world took to the streets to celebrate International Women's Day and to collectively assert their demands for reproductive autonomy, an end to sexual violence, and social, economic, and political equality with their male counterparts.
My hope, well, it's the hope of all the world's women, is that men and women be equal, both of them. The same rights and the same duties.
Although the holiday itself has long since been co-opted by evil fucking corporations, NGOs, and international development agencies, it was originally started by commies, and for over a century, it has served as an important date for militant demonstrations by badass revolutionary feminists of all political stripes. Way back in 1917, it was a riot at an International Women's Day march in St. Petersburg that first kicked off the Russian Revolution.
What's with all this stale-ass Orthodox Marxism and liberal identity politics garbage?
For fuck's sake, who let this troll in here? Joey, what the fuck is going on back there?
No, seriously, Stim, what happened to you? First you do an episode on Murray Bookchin, and now you're big-upping International Women's Day and the Russian Revolution? When did you start drinking the leftist Kool-Aid? What do you have coming up for the musical break? Taylor Swift singing the fucking Internationale? Stick to the riot point, Stim. Some of us are trying to realize our fucking desires here.
Well, then maybe you should actually go and riot yourself, instead of just watching clips online. And be sure and film it, so that you can be on my fucking show without wasting everyone's time like this.
Don't tell me what to do, leftist!
If there's to be a revolution, there must be a revolutionary party.
It seems like any time feminist issues or critiques get raised, some cisgender dude feels the overwhelming need to freak the fuck out.
I know that he like sexually assaulted someone, but he does really good work.
Within anarchist circles, this behavior is often flagged as manarchism. And while it's come to be generally acknowledged that sometimes peeps can go a bit overboard, calling folks out on their privilege, this should not be used as an excuse by anarchists to gloss over the fact that male entitlement is a huge fucking problem, and the patriarchal social relations that underpin it need to be fucking smashed.
Men and boys are in crisis, and they need your help, and they need your support, because they are human beings too.
In recent years, certain defenders of male privilege in North America have coalesced into a slimy community of fedora-wearing ponytail crusaders, known as men's rights activists, or MRAs.
Tonight's broadcast of the masculine feminist has been commandeered by the secret society No Man, national organization of men against Amazonian masterhood.
These sad, pathetic losers spend the majority of their time lurking on Reddit forums, hating on feminists, and blaming the past 3 decades of women's advancements for the fact that sometimes life under capitalism is fucking hard.
What are you doing?
Shut up, stupid girlfriend! Patriarchy!
Now, even though MRAs are easy to make fun of, that doesn't mean that they aren't dangerous, and that their misogynistic YouTube rants don't have serious consequences in real fucking life.
On the day of retribution, I am going to enter
the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there.
MRAs often downplay or even flat-out deny the extremely high levels of gendered harassment and physical assault that women have to deal with every fucking day. This all-pervasive atmosphere of sexual violence is often referred to as rape culture, and it is the primary weapon used by men to maintain their dominant social position under patriarchy.
Relax. We'll be gone in a moment. Or I will. I've hired these men to lurk on your sidewalk and pay you compliments all day long.
For the better part of a decade now in northern India, a movement of badass women known as the Gulabi Gang has been building itself a fierce reputation and a membership numbering in the tens of thousands. Recognizable by their matching bright pink saris, these women patrol the countryside of Uttar Pradesh, looking for abusive men and kicking the shit out of them with huge bamboo sticks.
Can anyone fight alone? Power comes from struggle. Then my battle is not for myself alone. I have seen the pain that women suffer, and they just keep on joining me. Any woman who is suffering is with me. It's their battle.
In addition to targeting individual rapists and wife beaters, the women of the Gulabi Gang have been known to lay down beating some misogynistic cops, corrupt politicians, and greedy bosses, all while running massive self-defense trainings and advocating for broader social transformation. While India is by no means a bastion of gender equality, the actions of the Gulabi Gang have resonated strongly with women across the country, and have helped to spark a growing shift in public perceptions around sexual assault and gender dynamics. And through their uncompromising physical attacks on the defenders of male privilege, they provide important lessons for feminist movements here in the global north. If MRAs think they have it bad now, maybe they need to be reminded that it can always get a whole lot fucking worse.
This not a song to gas a girl head, or get a girl to bed. A proclamation that the queen been shot and dead. Cause way too many peers of mine kick rhymes, throwing lines like queen and a vocabin at the same time. Grind on a woman at the club while the wife spend the night with his kid. He see his life like a bid, while his wife buy the shit that he dish when words fly. So I'm here to check these brothers, tell these sisters they lying. I know these players out here gon' say I'm blocking that cop. Thing is, I'm man enough to step up and the rest of y'all not. Some of y'all got daughters and all of y'all got moms. Y'all be treating other women like y'all hate y'all moms. Kanye had a mama who taught women at Clark, but when he raps, he be tearing young women apart. Right? Somebody check me if I'm wrong. Take a bad yellow bitch, make her drop them draws. The queen's dead.
Bye bye, I heard the queen was dead.
I heard the queen was dead.
I heard the queen was dead. I said boom bye bye, I heard the queen was dead.
I heard the queen was dead.
I heard the queen was dead.
In 2006, Mexico's former jefe culero Felipe Calderón announced that he was launching a military operation to rein in the country's increasingly powerful drug cartels.
Mexico!
2 years into this campaign, Calderón's greasy gringo compañeros in the U.S. State Department escalated shit up by introducing Plan Mérida, a multi-billion-dollar joint security initiative aimed at further militarizing the Mexican state.
We are supporting Mexican law enforcement, or for that matter, Colombian law enforcement, Central American law enforcement. We're not just helping or supporting Mexico or Colombia or Central America. We're getting real, direct value and impact in the United States of America.
I promised the American people I would do something about the drugs pouring into this country.
You are. Support the Colombians' efforts against the cartels with equipment and training.
Accomplish nothing.
Now, nearly a decade into the so-called war on drugs, over 100,000 peeps have been killed or disappeared by paramilitary cartels and members of the Mexican Popo. Despite the staggering death toll, the drug trade is still going strong, with some estimates putting its total value at between 25 to 30 billion fucking dollars per year.
Drugs. Why?
In order to understand this incredibly fucked up situation, I recently caught up with Don Paley, freelance investigative journalist and author of a new book put out by AK Press entitled Drug War Capitalism. Hey Don, how the fuck are you?
I'm pretty fucking good, thanks.
So, what the fuck is drug war capitalism?
Drug war capitalism is about how the drug war is not actually about cocaine or marijuana, but it's actually about expanding capitalism and about creating the conditions for more capitalism in Mexico, Central America, and Colombia and elsewhere.
In your book, you say that the drug war is a war on the people. Just what the fuck do you mean by that?
So when I say the drug war is a war on people, what I mean is it's not a war about cocaine, it's not about marijuana. It's about controlling, social control. And I argue that social control through the drug war in Mexico and Central America and Colombia is exercised through the use of terror. So you have, you know, tons of disappearances, murders, threats, all kinds of aggressions against regular folks by the state and by so-called drug cartels or paramilitary groups. That's what the drug war is about, and that's what I mean by war on the people.
In your book, you also say that Naomi Klein's shock doctrine theory didn't work in Mexico. Talk about that.
So in her book, The Shock Doctrine, Naomi Klein explains that the shock doctrine took place in Mexico, and what I argue in this book is that it just didn't go far enough. In the same way I argue, for example, that NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, it didn't go far enough to open up Mexico to foreign direct investment and transnational capital. You still have over half of the land in Mexico is communally owned. You know, until a year and a half ago had, one of the largest oil companies in the world owned by the Mexican government. And so those are the kinds of changes that weren't possible through that first attempt at the shock doctrine, and that's where I argue that the drug war comes in.
Is there a connection between the war on drugs and the 43 missing Normalista students?
I argue that it's deeply connected to the war on drugs. I mean, what the war on drugs has done in Mexico through the Merida Initiative with a huge amount of U.S. funding is militarize the entire country, create all these splinter groups and fractions of, you know, trafficking groups, and basically make the country a far more violent place. So the drug war, the Merida Initiative, is crucial in creating the context for something like the kidnapping of 43 students by police and their disappearance possible. I think before the drug war started, it would have been pretty hard to imagine something like that happening here, like 10 years ago, for example.
Recently, Mexican pigs captured top Zeta Cartel Grand Wizard Omar Trevino Morales and Knights Templar Pimp Braca Servando Gomez. Does this mean that the Mexican government is finally doing their fucking job?
I think, Stem, that you gotta ask yourself what the Mexican government's job is. I think that what I argue in the book is that, you know, their job is just like other states, just like every state in the world, is to, ensure that corporations are able to work on their territories within the legal framework and enrich the elite while fucking over, the majority of the population. Will the capture of these two pimp grand wizards actually reduce violence in Mexico? No, in fact, we've seen over and over again that the opposite is true, and when they capture these types of folks or kill them, it usually just leads to more violence.
Thanks, Don. And that about it for this edition of It's the End of the World As We Know It, and I Feel Fine. As is customary, I'd like to acknowledge the slaves who put some cash out of their nearly empty wallets to help make this anti-capitalist propaganda video mash happen. So, many fucking thanks to Garrick, Noemi, Chris, Robian, Elizabeth, Monica, Justin, Liam, Andres, Yahi, Valentin, Jennifer, Francois, Benjamin, David, Breton, Carol, Shannon, Dylan, Miguel, Stephen, Kyle, Christian, Edward, Jonathan, Sarah, Gregory, Julian, Audrey, Anna, Renzo, Thomas, Carly, Breton, Justina, Gerard, Brittany, Catherine, Kirk, James, Michael, Wesley, Michaela, Marisol, Oliver, Hansen, Pierre, Jensen, Jason, Samantha, Peter, Jeffrey, Ranko, Gabriel, Daniel, Martin, Bear, Andrew, Jan, and Darren, Malta India. Also, I'd like to give a warm welcome to the newest members of the Ta Conspiracy, Sebastian, Lydia, Hotlet Enema, and Sexual Chocolate, Chocolatina. Also, I'll let you motherfuckers know that February was our biggest fucking month yet in terms of reach, and the videos we put out that month touched over 100,000 pairs of eyes. Not bad for a low-budget anarchist news show. But we owe it a bit of gratitude to the folks who help spread the word and share our shows when they come out. So I want to send a spicy guacamole shout out to A Revolt Digital Anarchy, Films for Action, Uranon News, the X Worker Podcast, and Revolution News for helping us get the word out. With that said, we get a lot of requests from people who want to help out, but are fucking broke. The best way you can assist us is by spreading the word about this fucking show, by giving us a good review on iTunes, your blog, or Crackbook, or rebroadcasting my foul fucking mouth on your radio station, public access TV channel, or projecting our videos in an alley. All of our productions come with download links to video and audio files, and of course, these can be downloaded to your computer automatically by subscribing to our fucking podcast. And all our videos are anti-copyrights, so you don't need to ask us for permission if you want to burn them on a DVD or chop them up to make a mashup. All this shit I just talked about is just a few clicks away on my fucking website, stimulator.tv. So long for now, and like drug warrior Nancy Reagan once said, smoke lots of weed and listen to Twisted Sister.